So, you know,
from Rent.
That is not from Rent. That is from what Rent is based on.
That's right.
And those are people who really lived in permanent recession. That's Mimi and Rodolfo. Actually, that's not Mimi and Rodolfo, but part of the cast of characters in La Boheme. Obviously, that's about a group of very impoverished artists who are living in 19th century Paris and lived their lives surviving on the margins of society. And in fact, that singer Kimwana Donner at a dress rehearsal last week at the Detroit Opera House. La Boheme opened there this past weekend. And if you're one of the people who's surprised to hear that Detroit, which has struggled so hard during the Great Recession, is still able to support not just an opera house, but a grand opera house in the middle, in the heart of the city, well then Martina Guzman has something to say to you. She's a features reporter at WDET. Good morning, Martina.
Good morning, Celeste.
I would imagine there are people who are surprised to hear that Detroit, the city of Detroit, can support a grand opera house in the middle of a city that has struggled so hard during the recession. How is that?
Well, I think when people hear stories that there's like a post-apocalyptic meltdown, abandoned buildings, staggering unemployment, you know, for them to imagine opera, I think it's really difficult. But they've had the Detroit Opera House has had an opera director, which as of now, he's the longest standing opera director of any opera house in the United States, who's completely committed to keeping opera alive in Detroit. And he's been instrumental in not just diversifying the world of opera, but being it self-sustaining in terms of financial stability.
All right. It appears you have a theory as a reporter from WDET, one of our member stations out there at Detroit Public Radio. You have a theory about the success of the Detroit Opera House, and it sounds like it's A, they have a diverse audience, and B, they have younger people. I want to play you this cut of David DeCara speaking in an interview that he did for you.
I'm guilty of what's called affirmative action. If I'm going to cast a role, let's say I'm looking for the role of the Duke or something, and there are two wonderful tenors, and if one of them is African-American, I would choose the African-American tenor.
So it appears to me that you think that this may be connected to the opera house's continued survival.
Yeah, absolutely. What he's been able to do is reflect the audience on stage, so and vice versa. He's been able to choose and support African-American artists. I mean, this is the man that gave Kathleen Battle her stage debut. So in a city that's predominantly African-American and they're allowed to see themselves presented in operas, they're going to go. But he's been aggressive at reaching out to them. In 2005, when Detroit was hit by unemployment when the rest of the country wasn't, he was able to raise millions of dollars to bring Nobel laureate Toni Morrison to write an opera called Margaret Garner, which was not only written by an African-American woman, but also about slavery in America. And I think it was profoundly successful for that community, and it brought them out more than they had already been coming out.
And ended up touring to other cities like Chicago. The other thing here is that you say when you go to a performance at the Detroit Opera House, you can see an audience that obviously many of them are turning gray, but also many of them are younger. Here's David DeCara talking about how he gets younger people into the audience.
There are certain works that you do that you know will have more appeal than others. For example, when I did Dead Man Walking, young people really loved that. And when I did Peter Grimes, Benjamin Britten, and so you play up to them because young people are much more interested in often topical things.
Is that accurate?
I think so. I mean, it's not 100% formula, but I think what he's been successful at is reaching out to communities that are notoriously underrepresented at cultural institutions. You know, he reaches out to Latinos, African Americans, young people. And this year they have their 40th annual ball, which is the hallmark fundraiser for the Opera House. And it was the first time in 40 years that they'd opened it up to a younger generation. And the tickets that they opened to them sold out immediately. So you saw young hipsters with like flea market tuxedos or, you know, vintage tuxedos standing next to, you know, a woman in her 70s who'd been a patron of the opera for 20 years.
You know, Martina, I got to ask you, this sounds wonderful for the Detroit Opera House, but when I left Detroit, the Opera House was in very serious financial straits. I mean, their big supporters were the big three. GM and Chrysler pulled their support for their seasons because obviously the auto companies were struggling. Ford limited their support for the Opera House. What's happened? Has the financial situation turned around there?
Well, it's turned around for them. I mean, they actually lost two of their biggest donors, which were the automobile companies. And when that happened, he was able to, or he had to, restructure the entire company in a way that they depended, I think, more on the audience and personal donations and began to really diversify where they got their income from as opposed to only depending on two places or three places, which was the automobile industry.
It sounds like it's working, and kudos to them. Martina Guzman is a features reporter at WDET, our member station there in Detroit. Thanks, Martina.
Thank you, Celeste.